discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Our guest tonight, Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven, I was just sitting here reading through his credits of 49 movies or so and realizing how all actors, out-of-work actors, must hate Jeremy for just bogarting every part in Hollywood.
Well, here's the deal, man. I take something and I make nothing out of it. Now, oh, no, I'm sorry. I take nothing and make something out of it. That's what I do.
Right.
Yeah, I like to work. I don't really, you know, that's why I'm viciously underqualified, by the way, to speak about relationships or love. And I want to say that out right now because I've dodged this show for years, Adam, as you know.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I really have because Adam, you are more qualified to do this show than I am.
That's scary.
It is scary. And I just want
Jesus, is that a compliment?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No,
I'm not in a relationship. I don't know anything about relationships or about.
But you must have screwed up a few. Then you qualify for this show just by having messed up.
Yeah, I can tell you what not to do
for
however long, until dawn if
that's
you want.
Huge.
I don't know if that's what we need.
We'll do that. We'll dedicate the first 2 hours to Jeremy telling you what not to do.
That's good.
Like Jeremy that. And my paths have crossed a couple of times.
Absolutely.
We've ran into each other a few times and always been friendly and talked to him about this show, and he's finally on. But two other things, actually. One is the first time I did stand-in in a movie was for Judgment Night.
I did not know that.
A movie that Jeremy starred in.
Wow.
Yeah, I stood in for one of the bad guys. And this was...
pre-Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was like...
What's pre-Carolla?
This is 10 years ago. He was engaged in an illustrious career. Probably carpet cleaning about that.
No. How dare you? I was a carpenter teaching some boxing classes or something like that. But that was... That was as cushy a gig as I'd ever heard of. It was like $95 a day, the stand-in work. Plus, you'd get like a meal penalty if they didn't feed you on time.
No, but hold on. You didn't tell them. The biggest variable is it wasn't by day. It was nights.
Yeah.
It was 6 nights a week for 3 months. And you can say cushy, but it was surreal. And the bad guys were bad. They were Everlast from House of Pain when he was peaking.
Right.
Peter Green, who indeed was peaking.
You stood in for Everlast, didn't you?
No, I stood in for not Everlast, not Peter Green.
The Leary, Dennis Leary.
No, not Leary. The one guy I looked nothing like because my friend Robbie Levine was like the second AD on the thing, and he got me the gig. But it was comical because... Because the guy who stood in for Everlast looked just like Everlast. It's important that you look like the guy because they light you for it. You should be the same height. You should be the same coloring. You should have the same sort of bone structure because that's how you're going to look when they call. It takes them so long to light these movies, and they're out. You're outside. We shot in downtown L.A., and it was freezing cold. And
oh, you were in the downtown L.A. part.
I did downtown. Okay. You guys just got back from Chicago or something. Right. I got on downtown L.A. It's a couple of things. A, you're praying your guy doesn't get killed so you can squeeze another few days or weeks out of the gig.
Right.
And my guy lived, like, well until you guys got down in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to make it about 3 weeks. But the thing that was really funny is Everlast guy looks just like Everlast. And Dennis Leary's guy looked a little more like Dennis Leary than Dennis Leary. I mean, he was spinning image. And everybody looked exactly like everybody, except for I was 6 inches taller, my guy, and different colored hair.
He was dark skin, he was light.
Yeah, and he had long, straight hair, and I had this Brillo head. And the lighting director, the very first day, my buddy gets me the job. The very first day comes on the job, he walks in, he goes, you know, second team, you know, everyone's standing around. He walks in, he looks all, he sort of surveys us all, and he stops on me for a second. And he just keeps staring, and he starts to... and then he goes into whatever he's thinking of. But you could see the wheels turning in his head, like, who the hell is this guy? But, first time.
Here's the weirdest thing that you don't know. By the time we got to L.A., and I've never talked about this, and I might as well now since you're bringing it up, they had fired Peter Green... and they had used. They decided to use his stand-in for the rest of the movie, which is unheard of in an ensemble piece.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
But Peter Green was still doing the parts and stuff. Peter Green is an actor who was in The Mask. and he was in, I just went back and saw Pulp Fiction. He was Zed or whatever. He was the crazy country guy at the pawn shop who came in. He was the sheriff who came in to do, like, the sodomized kid.
Let me just add a couple things up. He's crazy on screen, gets fired.
He's one of these guys who plays like an out of control badass in the movies
and
out of control badass apparently off screen as well. I mean, he's sort of Mickey Rourke times two.
Yeah, he doubled down on his Rourke-ness. Absolutely.
If
you know, holding the concierge at gunpoint, demanding you get into there's a whole other situation.
So he was out of control. Yes. And the thing that was funny, and in this movie is Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jeremy. These are the good guys, and then the bad guys are Everlast and Peter Green and Dennis Leary. And anyway, the point is the bad guys start turning into bad guys.
In real life.
In real life. And the good guys are good guys. And in the movie, it's the good guys against the bad guys. But now, off the set, it's the good guys against the bad guys.
That is bizarre.
And the bad guys are all, like, huddling together. Oh, and they're all badass. And they're wearing, like, dusters. And they're leather. And they're carrying fake guns. But they're strutting around. And they're trashing their trailers. And they're getting in, like, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s face. It was a strange dynamic. And as the stand-in for the bad guys, we had to then wage war against the stand-in for the good guys. It was a lower-level battle, but we didn't hang with the stand-ins for the good guys.
Oh, you hate to see a B-team battle. I hated the A-team battle. And by the time you started shooting it, I'd already been killed. No one has ever talked this much about Judgment Night, by the way, ever. And you know what?
He's here to promote something different, though, by the way.
And here, you know what the sound is? The sound of people changing the channel.
All right.
11 times over. But I will say this about that movie, is it was the urban deliverance, and they dropped the ball completely because there were parts of that movie that were good.
I'll tell you, go rent it. You'll have a good time.
Serendipity's out on DVD.
Oh, Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Yeah, that's John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale and
Molly Shannon and myself. And
yeah,
it's a big, hard romantic comedy. And
good. And this is now out on DVD. And what does it have on DVD that it wouldn't have if you had it on videotape?
The director talks about each scene. They get behind-the-scenes interviews. There's one moment where I'm with a small goat. It's a weird, it's kind of, it's an awkward and interesting moment. I'm in my trailer.
The family show here.
Yeah, French language track. That's going to go over big with our audience.
Uh-huh.
The 16-year-olds from Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jeremy Piven, our guest. Let's get back to the phones, or start with the phones and talk to Beth, who's 15. Beth?
Hi.
Hey.
I recently lost my virginity about a month ago. And for the first, like, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, he didn't use a condom. Then halfway through, he put one on, and
Let me just add up the numbers here. 20 to 30 minutes, and then halfway through, he put one on?
Well, yeah, like, that was about halfway through, and then he put one on.
Yeah, that was the halfway point, 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He was not a virgin.
He wasn't, no.
He was.
Yeah. Jesus.
And then, like, a couple days later, I think it might have been the day after I got my period, but a friend told me that you can still get pregnant even if you had your period right after.
Yeah, I guess theoretically. Have you had your period a second time?
It should be any day now.
All right, I'm sure. I feel confident it will come again, and you can reassure yourself by taking a pregnancy test. I'm sure it'll be negative.
I guess it's better than wearing a condom for the first half.
Yes.
If you break it down.
Yes. If you have to choose an interval, an interval, you don't really even want to use it in the middle third. You didn't want to use it the last.
Right.
First, right.
So the possibility is not good that I'm pregnant?
Possibility is not good that you're pregnant, but still, you know, you can reassure yourself with a pregnancy test.
How did it go that he decided to break down and put the condom on?
Well, we really weren't paying attention.
No.
So.
Why after 20 minutes did your... Did you cognition suddenly activate?
The guy from Pink Dot arrived.
Okay, all right. I really don't know.
You got the pint of Haagen-Dazs and the Trojan Magnum pack.
Did you shake him out of it and say, listen, go, you know, put a little Jimmy cap on that situation?
Well, actually, he mentioned it. I completely forgot, which really, you know, isn't...
How old was this guy?
He's 15.
All right. Wow.
Okay.
That moves pretty good for 15.
Yeah.
All right. Are you in love?
No, sad, no.
Why not? It's
kind of a just, you're really horny, let's do something.
You're not into this guy?
15.
Not really.
Really? You gave your virginity up to some bumpkin who you weren't that interested in?
Well, he's cute, but, I mean, I don't regret it, but I, you know, could have chose somebody else. I just wanted to get some dick.
I see. All right,
well,
there, Beth.
I'm bewildered.
Seems like your virginity is something, you know, I don't know. You put a little higher bounty on.
I'm curious. You sound fine. Are you okay? You ever been depressed or anything?
No.
And everything's good? You've been doing well in school?
Yeah.
Just want to get it over with, right?
Well, it's like, you know, I had heard that it's like a really big deal, but I didn't feel that much different afterwards. I was just like, you know.
And have you had a boyfriend before in the past?
I've had one.
How'd that go?
He dumped me after a couple months.
Are you interested in having another one?
Yes, I really, really want another one.
Your parents are together?
Oh, yeah, my parents are together.
They're very good. This is how it can be when kids are actually well put together. They can make a choice at 50, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little suspicious because theoretically, at 16, the brain development is just not there to really make to be like she seems to be.
Yeah.
But maybe she is. Maybe that's just her.
I wish chicks were that evolved when I was 15, where they could just make a decision to have sex with me and then cast me aside. I would have gone for that. Yeah, I didn't seem to find any of those Beths when I was in high school.
Beth is what everyone claims to be. And how many 20 years in the show I've never spoken to Beth before?
No.
You know what I'm saying? This is a first.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
John?
I'm responsible for that, by the way.
Thank you.
It's my energy.
Appreciate it.
John, you're 30.
Yeah.
This one actually for Jeremy, too. So.
Okay, this one's for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've been married 10 years. I've been separated 3 months now. The doctor put me on Effexor and Valium. I went out on a date with a woman, and I couldn't get an erection.
Jeremy?
I have 119 problems, and that is not one of them, oddly enough. Now, with the Effexor, what is that exactly?
It's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor with adrenergic activity in higher doses. How much are you taking?
150 milligrams a day.
And that's really, he's getting into both effects, and both can, particularly the serotonin effect, can prevent sexual arousal, orgasm, erection, prevent everything.
Plus, John's penis has some ring rust, right? I mean,
it's been sort of shot down.
Well, I've been depressed.
Yeah, he's been depressed, and he's been.
I was trying to make myself feel better.
But really, the Effexor is what got in the way here, I'm sure. And also the Valium. You on the Valium regularly?
2 milligrams twice a day.
All right, it's a pretty low dose, but
you know what's nice? I just thought about as a woman is you have that sort of get out of jail free card sexually. That okay, you're a little depressed. Maybe your husband dumped you 3 years ago, and you're having trouble bouncing back. But if push comes to shove, you can always just hold still, open your legs, and fake an orgasm and get through the night. I mean, you have that in the back of your mind. It's you don't want to go there, you don't want to play that card, but it's that. And as a guy, you got to get that good erection going, put it in the right place, and ultimately have an orgasm. And if you're depressed and you're on the Effexor and you've had a couple of Michelobes with dinner, you got something to think about.
But isn't that what put the nails in the coffin, though, is that if you start to have trouble, there ain't no faking it. And then you panic, and then it ain't working.
Right.
So you don't have a fallback.
No.
There's no hiding out from this.
Right.
Yep. Well, he's 30 years old. I think it's more of a sign of our culture, unfortunately, is that the people jump into really bad Western medicine, and I think that everyone gets depressed, and there are other options besides medicating yourself. You know, I mean, we all go through stuff, and you're going through some stuff right now. You might want to do it a little more clear-headed. Am I wrong? I mean,
did you think about hurting yourself?
I've thought about it.
So you're contemplating suicide.
See, that's the thing. Well, now that your penis doesn't work, right?
Jeremy, that's the problem with depression. About 1 in 5 people die with depression. It's a 20% fatality rate.
They kill themselves?
They kill themselves. 1 out of 5. And if you're having suicidal ideation, I mean, it's a sign that you have to do something. And what is clear is that if you need medicine to stabilize things, fine, but the outcomes are much better with therapy. And, you know, it's time to maybe get in and do some work. I agree with Jeremy on that point for sure.
All right, Jeff.
Stay away from the women, or?
Well, do you like this girl?
I don't know. I was just trying to make.
No, Drew didn't say stay away from women. He said, kill yourself, right?
You said what?
She's been cheating on me.
Your wife? You're separated, right?
Well, this is what happened 3 months ago. I found out all this happened.
Oh, okay.
Well, look, I think Jeremy's right. It's a situational thing, and maybe work on that diligently rather than looking for a cure and a pill.
And also, if she's doing that, she's not right for you anyway. It'll just take you a little time to realize that.
And John, can you have a second date with this one?
I don't know. It was embarrassing. I haven't called her back. It was just...
She's probably uncomfortable, too. Just call her back. Have a laugh about it.
You know, the truth is the easiest thing to remember, you know. Tell her that that the blood rushes to your power source with no problem whatsoever. You just have been heavily medicated.
Yeah, right. What's so embarrassing about that?
Yeah.
You keep that note in your wallet from your doctor. I got one from Drew. Drew, that's what you should start issuing.
Notes. Maybe you should put these out on the web, like little greetings that, sorry, I couldn't get it, was the effects. They can actually, you know, fill in a little blank for the drug name with a little trademark sign.
Like when you have to get out of school, you get a note from your folks. Sure. And later on in work, if you want to miss a couple of weeks, you get that note from your doctor. This is for a date. Take the pressure off. Penis doesn't work. Pull out the thing that says you're on the effexor. Drew probably signs it and puts a little smiley face on it.
I really wanted to, at one point, I was working with the ingredients people, try to put something together for embarrassing and unpleasant communications like that. You know what I mean? There's a million things that you want to tell someone.
She can't get on the computer. I mean, I need something laminated in my wallet that I can produce immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
You need disclaimers.
Yeah. And laminate. Something I can really cut some coke with and draw a line.
With Ray's writing us, they can run it through one of those credit card machines and get a copy if they want. That's good.
I think also if you jam, like, you know, 19 pounds of pure Bolivian cocaine into your system, you're going to definitely get a half chunk right at them.
Yeah. What about that, Drew? No?
Well, you can go the other way. You can go the other way. Inside out, yeah.
All right. What if I just use the coke topically?
That's for a different problem.
I see. Okay. Allison?
Yeah, hi.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
I really have two questions. I told Sunscreen about one. I think that I was sexually abused as a child, but I don't remember it. Like, I remember two or three incidents, but nothing, like, extraordinarily out there.
What's the evidence currently in your life that maybe something like that happened?
Like, when I was six, I was telling my mom, I'd just finished watching, like, that Whoopi Goldberg movie where she was a showgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I wanted to be a showgirl, and my dad told me that I needed to take off my clothes and get in bed with him because that's what real showgirls do.
Did your dad sexually abuse you, do you think?
I think so, but I don't know.
I think the real trauma here was seeing Sister Act.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, that's where the real damage was done.
Do you have relationships now? Are they okay?
Usually I pick either angst kitten, goth boys, or manipulative a-holes.
And do you have an eating disorder? Do you cut? Do anything like that?
Yeah.
All right.
I used to cut really badly. I was very suicidal in ninth grade. All right.
So there's some evidence of at least maybe some trauma early on that you're sort of trying to deal with. I think the way to think about this, and people get way too caught up. I've thought about this the last couple of weeks about how to express this to people. People get caught up in, do I remember it? What happened to me? It's unimportant. Whatever happened creates a physiologic imprint on your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that imprint is there whether there's a conscious memory or not. And the evidence of that imprint is the way Allison's behaving now in mid-adolescence.
So you're saying, look, if you're chasing the goth guys and cutting on yourself, and it's sort of academic whether you're molested or not, you got to delve into the behavior.
You got to get some help. And really...
Well, I can't get help. They won't let me.
Your parents?
They will not let me go see a therapist. I've asked them before, and most parents would say, you want to see a therapist, that's fantastic.
Are you doing drugs or alcohol?
Not anymore.
Do you have a history of substance use?
Just for a little while when I was a freshman in high school. But
what about a 12-step program? Again, the idea here is what you need is a stable relationship with someone who knows how to draw you into an intimate connection.
Right.
A real stable, true connected relationship. And that's what 12-step really is.
Hold on. Jeremy wants me to plug the DVD. Serendipity, everybody. There's a free Cinnabon offer inside. You can apparently get a free Cinnabon.
Tomorrow I can get it. Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
I'm bringing that with me.
All right, let's go back and call. Allison?
Allison, I want to apologize.
Jeremy's offended by that, Adam.
No, I want to tell you, Allison, that I had nothing to do with that just now, and I'm listening intently to what...
And
the good doctor was at the 12-step program just now.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So that would be a way to do it for free. And
I'm not sure, and I know you just said who cares whether she was molested or not, but... I'm interested. She doesn't remember exactly, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember him touching me once or twice, but my mom was sitting right there, and she wouldn't do anything about it. And it never went to, actual...
But, I mean, you remember watching Sister Act, right?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I just mean, I don't want to harp on that, but what I mean is...
Well, maybe if Whoopi Goldberg worked less...
Yeah.
This would happen less.
Jeremy could take her jobs.
He could be the middle square in Hollywood Square. Or do
that's not right for me, but having Whoopi Goldberg say no may be right for me. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Alice, I'm just saying, if you remember what movie you were watching, you probably would remember if he really violated you.
What are you saying?
What do you mean?
Oh, you mean you? No, I mean you can selectively forget certain things.
Yeah, no, I know, but she wasn't three.
It's unimportant. We got to figure. She needs help. We've established that. How does she get it?
All right.
One way is 12-step. Another way is school. Another way is community resources for mental health. I mean, you've got to take care of yourself, Alice. You've got to find something for you. The parents are not supportive. These are the same parents that put you through some of this trauma. So. It's not something you need to have them involved with necessarily. Unfortunately, it helps when you get the financial backing of the parents, but you don't have to have it. There's certainly, at the very least, community 12-step.
Yeah, parents. And Allison sounded smart enough to take care of things on her own.
I mean, I grew up in Chicago, and you're here, so things are different, but are there even like a guidance counselor that she can go to?
She's in Virginia, actually.
Okay. Is there like a guidance counselor?
Cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They can hook you up with a therapist or something like that?
Absolutely.
Allison? No?
Wait a minute.
We've never lost her.
No,
she hates us.
Allison?
I don't go to public school or even a private school. They pulled me out of school and tried to homeschool me. That didn't work, so they put me in community college.
Whoa.
And you're way ahead most of the students, right?
Yeah.
With your 10th grade education?
In their 20s. Oh, yeah. It's like the 13th grade.
Yeah.
It's called NOVA, where the N stands for knowledge.
Maybe. I don't think it's a 13th grade. I think once you go to junior college, you go back to ninth. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. You lap school.
You sound really sharp, though. You sound like a smart girl.
Yeah, I'm sure there are resources there at the community college. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, and you'll be happier that you did it yourself once you do it.
I bet.
Hmm. Yeah, and guidance counselors today or counselors today actually counsel. When I was in high school, Mr. Tomey was like, you failed biology, you pissed off Mr. Diliberti, you're taking science, you're going to major in ceramics, that's enough. I mean, that's as much counseling as I got out of it.
They'd have a waffle paddle on the wall with, like, they call it the destroyer on it. With tape around it.
Yeah, it was nice when they used to hang their instruments of doom.
Torture. Yeah.
Yeah, woodshop teachers had that, too. That drilled out, sawed off, or with the notches in it.
Yeah,
and it was drilled out.
Yeah.
With, like, two fingers smelling like a barnyard animal, just cross-eyed looking at you, just like a thirsty, angry, horny clown. Those were good times, huh?
Yeah.
Good times.
We had two teachers, really. We had two types of counselors. We had the gay ones that seemed inappropriately interested, and then there was the straight ones that just didn't care and hated kids. So you kind of had your choice. You had the guy who was concerned with your future and concerned with your rectum, or the one that just had no concern and wanted to nip off his flask and wish you could get out of his
car. Send those cards and letters to Adam Carolla.
That's what we had.
Neither one of those are right for anyone.
No, something in between, like a bi guy with some interest.
Good times. We had a gentleman who was dating our art teacher, Miss Kenny. And she was dating, this is in junior high, one of the eighth graders.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he had like a Latrell Sprewell. That was one of the only white boys in my junior high in that particular time. And she was dating, like a Latrell Sprewell eighth grader who was like, 6'1".
19-inch guns on him.
Indeed. He could finger roll or do a 360 slam. And he was like driving around,
Driving around, eighth grader.
Indeed, giving Miss Kenny the good stuff. At 14, he was a 14-year-old eighth grader.
Driving.
Indeed. Good time.
He had one of those big raised keloid tattoos.
There we go.
With the black fraternity on his bicep.
I think he was a Q dog in eighth grade, which is interesting.
We'll be right back.
We're going to take a little break. Jeremy Piven is here, plugging Serendipity, which is starring John Cusack, which is out on DVD right now.
It also stars me, though.
Oh, yeah, it stars Jeremy. Yeah,
he story of my life. Stars John Cusack.
Yeah, no, I mean, and Jeremy, that goes without saying. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, and it's Dr. Drew over there, phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Jeremy Piven is our guest tonight. Jeremy is the most popular actor in the show business, and I'm just looking at his credits here, and Black Hawk Down, which I saw him most recently in. But I was just a couple of things, and like I said, Jeremy and my path have crossed a few times, although we never really knew. We were talking about doing Judgment Night, right, where I was just standing, and we never really saw each other, though I knew he was on it, but he didn't know I was on it. Also, you know, the Man Show was originally going to be on ABC, and the show that replaced it was Cupid.
Oh, interesting.
Remember I was, remember I put a curse on the show?
Yes.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Thanks for that curse, by the way.
Yeah.
No, good looking out. I like
you're a movie actor. You don't need to do that, this crappy series. But Cupid, we were like just on the schedule. The Man Show was on ABC.
Do you know
believe
what,
it or not.
You know what time slot they would have given you? 10:30 Saturday night. What do you think your demographic is at home at 10:30?
By the way, if they are, they're passed out.
They're passed out. They're half a pony keg into it.
Think how many milliseconds Manchu would have lasted. How much time they would have given it to
the right? I remember when Jamie Tarsus, who was running the network at the time, told me that she had given me the 10:30. So they saw the pilot, loved it so much, just wanted to put it on the air, but didn't think what time. So we were up against Chuck Norris, which has ruled Saturday night for the past 7 years.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
He's 63. He's got a red beard, and people need it, apparently.
Still on the air?
It won't ever stop. Bob Hope and Chuck Norris won't ever stop. Just know it. Own that.
I know, but it's crazy. It's crazy in that there are those series that have been on. They're in their, like, ninth year, and people don't even know they're on.
No.
But they just fall. They just... See, my theory is they're not even open. The network doesn't know they're on, so each year they don't know to cut them. It was that way with, what was that Suzanne Somers Step by Step thing? Suzanne Somers had that sitcom that was on Friday night, like on TGI Friday on ABC.
No one knows she was on
for like 9 years.
Company.
And you can just slide under the radar.
Well, I mean, maybe you guys can answer this for me. You know, in this age right now where, you know, technology is light years ahead of our evolution, and the Nielsen ratings, they put... these pamphlets in 1,500 homes across the United States, and you have to fill them out by hand and then turn them in. Is that the best way to do it when they can tell you, go on a computer and tell you every penny you've spent and every phone call you've made?
No,
is there a better way?
They've actually changed, so they monitor they have boxes.
They don't, man, because they sent this year.
Well, they also have questionnaires, but they also, they do both. They do both.
Oh, it's crazy. They have, and radio's even worse.
Radio's worse.
They have Arbitron, which has the word arbitrary just right in it. And radio's great because they're like, you get called in the GM's office. Like, good news, fellas, you're number one. And then, like, 3 weeks later, bad news. You guys are a little bit lower than last. If you moved up a notch, you'd be second to last. It's like, geez, how do you go from number one, 18 to 24, in time spent listening? Like, 3 weeks later, you're like, in last place. And the next week, you're number one. And then you drop down again. It is kind of all over the place. But I guess, you know, I think the rationale is it's all over the place for everybody. So it must all even out somehow.
But you guys are survivors,
as am I,
and that's why
that's
we're
right.
here right now.
That's right.
We are the underdogs. The three of us are representing the underdogs in this country.
Yeah, the man has tried to shoot down this show more than once. The man has tried to derail the Piven Express more than once. But you know what? It stays on track. It keeps feeding coal to it.
You know why?
It just picks up steam.
You know why? Because I'm not afraid to dance for Whitey. I'll go in there. They give me seven scenes. I'll audition with seven scenes.
Right.
I will put the costume on and go in camera ready so that because they don't have an imagination usually. They need to see it.
And Black Hawk Down, in the audition process, he flew a Huey helicopter into the building.
So it compensates for the Adams of the world who won't even come in for an audition.
Won't
come for the shooting either, as a matter of fact.
Adam, I'm 146 movies into it, and I dance for Whitey for every crumb I get.
Really?
You have to suck it up like a big boy. You really do, Adam, I'm telling you.
Really? You have to audition? You shouldn't have to audition.
For everything. And I'm
really?
You know, call anyone you want right
Adam,
now.
From now on, I'm going to remind you of this moment. Whenever you talk about how people just, they know they want you, they just have to call and they can have you, but they'll know ahead of time if they really want you or not.
No,
why should you have to drag your ass down?
I mean, I can give you an example. I'll sit here and bore everyone, but I've gone in, auditioned, not gotten the role, looked at the breakdown, and it says Jeremy Piven type, and I didn't get it.
Wow.
I've been turned down in every way you could possibly.
Jeremy's a pro, Adam. You see how that works?
Well, no, I'm not a pro. I just have a huge ego, and I'm a freak, and I have to work.
But
I'm driven.
But this is
work thing's good.
This is an interesting
point.
Yeah,
but I haven't had a relationship in 9 years. Let's talk about that.
Yes, we will. Don't worry.
This is an interesting point, which is Jeremy lands in some of the biggest movies of the year in and year out, and works more than any actor I've seen in a long time. So then, Is it because you audition well? I mean, obviously you're talented, but obviously you have to get the role first.
Indeed.
And how much prep?
Jeremy's established a type. He's established a type.
No. How dare you? You know, I saw a breakdown. Someone showed me a breakdown a few weeks ago, and they said they were looking for a black Adam Carolla.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was flattered. Here's my point. Here's the thing I'm interested in, and it's starting to dawn on me.
All right.
And we should all take note of this, which is, and you stop me if I'm wrong, Jeremy.
Okay, I'm going to stop. It's about time for another.
Shut up! I gotta keep going here.
Right.
There's a lot of capable actors in this town,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people that if they get a role in the film will come through and will do a good job. And Jeremy is one of those. And Jeremy is usually the buddy's best friend.
Right.
Does not have to carry the film. It's not based on what his ass looks like mm-hmm. or how many posters teenage girls have of him. It's about, you know, just ability to do his job. But Jeremy consistently gets these roles. Mm-hmm. And now it's dawning on me that Jeremy puts in the extra time. Gets
it's
the beats
taking you
down.
This long, Adam?
Yeah,
I
never thought about him because I like to equate all success with luck with other people. Mm. With myself, it's hard work and dedication.
No.
With everyone else, it's luck.
You always said it was pure talent.
Oh, pure talent, hard work, and dedication. But with Jeremy, it's either luck or deal with the devil. But what's dawning on me now is that Jeremy gets these breakdowns, rehearses, nails the thing, and goes in and gets the part, and that's why he's in all of these movies.
Yeah, without being the guy that says that about himself. Yeah, I mean, for instance, Family Man playing opposite Nick Cage.
Right.
You go in there, it's to play the best friend. It's a thankless role on paper. I played the best friend in many, many movies, but I know Nick throws down and Brett Ratner, who did Rush Hour and all those movies. It's a great script. Brett's a great director. Nick's going to, you know, Taya. Everyone's in it, right?
Right.
So they say, we love you for it. Come in and meet. I met with the director, and he says, I want to hire you. Then he goes, and I want you to come in and read. And so the reality is you've got to go home, memorize all those scenes. You can't even have a script in your hand. If you have the script in your hand, there could be a margin for error. This is just how I do it.
So
you memorize all the stuff. You go in as the guy, and you do it once. They said, great, you got to come in again and put it down on tape again. So when you put it on tape and all the producers and everyone was there from Universal, blah, blah, blah. Then I get another call saying, now Nick wants to see you in his hotel, and they're going to videotape you again for a third audition. And you can. And I said, well, I'm working that day, and I only have a half hour for lunch. They said, can you drive to the Four Seasons on your lunch break? So I drive the Four Seasons, and you make sure that you have the right shoes. You want Nick to be the big man. You wear the flat shoes.
Wow.
You have to do all this stuff in your head.
Adam considers that enabling behavior, see?
He thinks
those people are asking you.
Flat shoes!
Bro, you've got to get the role. You've got to know it. You've got to go in and crush it. And you've got to do it time and time again. You have to suck it up. And if you don't want to do it, that's okay. But then don't cry about it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Adam, don't cry about it.
I don't cry about it. How dare you, Drew?
Don't whine about it.
When does this turn into an intervention? I never go on auditions. I never do anything. I don't cry about anything. Right.
But ultimately, if you want it badly enough, you'll go and do that.
That's amazing.
I'm actually glad he said that because we often get our callers calling, how did you get into this? How do you do that? And people usually get very, very vague answers. He's giving a real specific
answer. And it's like I think we all imagine that the reason he's in Family Man is because
they wanted Jeremy
they
Piven.
Saw yeah. Jeremy Piven yeah. in his last role right. and just, you know, threw a script this way and told him when he was going to start. And even though the guy has, you know, 50 films under his belt and some of the biggest credits in the last, you know, 5 years of almost any actor, he's still busting his ass,
but
memorizing
probably
everything.
But you've done it that way from the beginning.
Yeah, that's the way you learn how to do it. Because I guess coming from Chicago, I grew up with Cusack, and as kids, the only way to get it, you would have a director that would come in maybe once a year if you're lucky. And if you can get in front of that director, you can win possibly. But what we would have to do is put everything on tape, and then they would maybe watch the tapes here. You know, they go through all their L.A. choices, and then possibly they'll look at a Chicago tape. But Johnny was really he was much more ambitious than I was. I was playing football in high school and was chasing women that wanted nothing to do with me. But that's a whole other story.
John also stars Serendipity out on DVD. Right
indeed.
Now.
And both John and I never got the girls that we wanted to in high school. I mean, the joke was completely on us. But he was very ambitious and would take the train in. And so, yeah, from the get-go, you're auditioning, and it doesn't change. At a certain point, maybe it will when you're one of those lucky few. But everyone wants to be in movies right now. And the competition is just, it's you wouldn't believe it. The last movie I was in, I just wrapped Old School with Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, and Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically guys in their 30s who are, you know, who want to go back and relive those college years. And it's basically Animal House for guys who are too old to be in college.
Right.
And then they have to throw, you know, and you're shaking your head like, haven't we seen enough of this?
But
this,
no,
is,
no.
This is actually really funny. And they throw a fraternity where the guys are 17 to 88, so it's just true anarchy, you know. And I met with the director, and he was quoting lines from movies I've done. And we had a great meeting. I told him my take on the character. And next day, I get a call saying he's going to need you to read. Now, that's after the guy loves your stuff, and, you know, and you've got to,
right.
And your first instinct is like, this guy's directed one movie, and he dug my stuff. I don't get it. You've got to just go, look at, do I want to work? Do I want to be in this? You got to put the ego aside, or that ego, that's going to get in your way of going in and auditioning and go in and audition and crush it. And then
and wear flats.
Wear flat shoes if you're
smaller, if you're the best friend.
All right. Indeed. All right. We're going to take a break. And
well, I'm still talking, though.
Yeah, I know, but I've had an assful.
Okay, there you go.
I didn't wear flats.
Blah, 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 blah.
No, Jeremy Piven, everybody, with some real insightful stuff about the business and life, basically. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll take your calls after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy, do not eat those mixed nuts into the microphone.
It's all right for you?
No.
The gas. He doesn't know.
He's going to eat the nuts right into the mic.
No, I'm a professional, man.
He's a pro.
Yeah,
he's a pro.
All right. He's all right. If you
you know what, though?
Yeah.
I was just peeing, and I realized I don't want to audition anymore. Is that wrong?
Good.
No, I want to be offered stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I just realized. Look at Adam. Yeah.
So he thinks you're enabling all those directors that require you. They know you're going to come back, so they're just using you, man.
Yeah, that's right, man. Man, they're talking about you as soon as you leave the audition, man. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, dance, boy, dance. That's what they're saying, man.
I don't care.
Jump through the hoop, you little poodle.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
It probably makes you feel good, though, that you have a certain level of control. You know you're going to crush it. You know what I mean? It allows you to have some sense of...
It is.
You know what I mean?
Well, the thing that I think is great about
it... You're not waiting passively for them to call you. You're in their face.
Jeremy puts in this relatively small amount of time, relatively, to prepare at the beginning, then gets the gig, which people won't do.
Right.
I mean,
well, I think you have to, I mean, everyone, you know, is in it for different reasons and their background's different. I've been studying since I was a kid. My parents have their own theater and I got lucky. I mean, I was studying with them since I was 8 years old. So, you know, and then I went to college and studied and I still know my limitations. So that, you know, that's empowering. So that makes me work harder in a way. Like I know that, like, you know, I'm not a great cold reader. So if they throw me a scene, I won't even do it. I'll run in the hall and hide until I got it down, you know. And you asked earlier, you know about the variable about auditioning. There are some actors that are great auditioners, and they're not necessarily, you know, great on the day.
Right.
You know, all the stars align or whatever. And then there's some great actors who are terrible auditioners. And I think I'm that guy. And because I'm a terrible auditioner, I have to work that much harder. Mm. That makes any sense.
It's like, yeah, you overcompensate.
Yeah, you have to.
Which works to get you the role. John?
Yes, you're back.
That wasn't even John.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, John, you're 25. What's up?
I just did a bunch of cocaine tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And when the next day, my hands go numb. The next day, I break out in hives through my hands and my arms.
How much coke did you do?
I did about 16 tonight, a lot of beer.
All right, what's the question?
What's the question?
Yeah.
Is there a medical reason why I break out in hives?
Hmm. Well, what do you mean by hives? It depends what you're talking about.
I mean, a blotchy skin. I break out like I'm allergic to something.
Well, there's a lot of sort of serious reaction. Do you cough, too, or do you cough up blood or anything?
No, like I don't cough up anybody. See, I'm not an addict. I only do this, like, probably
times a week.
Once every 2 months.
Yeah, the thing about cocaine, John, is people don't tend to use that continuously. They use it in binges.
Yeah, and, and when I do a lot of it.
Right, that's how that's what cocaine addiction is. And that
that's an addiction.
And in the face of those binges, increasing consequences develop, such as medical problems, depressions, right. Behavioral problems, losing relationships.
Hold on, hold on. How much did you do?
Probably about 16th.
16th of a gram?
No, more than a gram, a lot more than a gram, 16th of an ounce.
How many grams is in a 16th of that?
4 grams, 3 grams?
Yeah.
You did like an 8 ball?
Yeah, almost an 8 ball.
Yourself today?
You're by yourself right now?
Yeah.
Do you smoke it or snort it?
I'm snorting. I'm drinking a lot of beer on top of it, too. Yeah.
All right, well, there's a lot of things that can come out in your extremities. There's something called porphyria cutanea tarda that's actually from the alcohol. More than the cocaine, and there's a vasculitis you can get from it. There's a lot of serious medical things you can get into here, and blotchy rashes.
Is there an upside to doing blow? I'm just curious.
None that I can think of.
Okay. So what you're saying is that there's no way to win if you do blow.
See, I don't know why I do it either, but when I get out and it's given, it's not like I pay for it. It's given to me.
Huh. Why? Because you're good looking?
Well, it's not that. I just got friends, and, that
they give you 8 balls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
There are a couple things that happen. I just had a flash of what happens when you do that much blow. You either end up naked on RuPaul's stove at dawn. You end up playing Russian roulette with your dealer.
Right.
You end up with a red ball in your mouth with duct tape strapped around your head and someone slamming you.
The gimp ball. Yeah, with Peter Green nailing you
indeed.
In the ass.
Indeed.
Ain't nothing like that going to happen.
Well, I'm telling you, man.
But there has been nights where I woke up and, didn't have my car.
Yeah, all right.
So that's
just going to get worse.
But that's addiction.
What happened?
That's alcoholism, and that's addiction. And addiction is defined by the consequences, not by the frequency or the amount of use. And if the consequences continue and the use is progressing, that is addiction.
All right.
So, really quickly, I've had some friends that have had very, very, very similar problems. And what was really interesting is they went to a 12-step program. And, you hear all these stories, you don't really make it on your first time. I have a bunch of friends who made it on their first trip, and they've been sober since, and you think, they're not as interesting now or any of that stuff. They, with that clarity, have progressed in their lives professionally. It's just amazing what's happened to them. And they were at a very similar state that you're in right now. So it's just one man talking, but there's help out there.
All right, John, seek it, please. Travis?
Yeah.
You're 24?
I just had a question for Dr. Drew, and my fiance, she's got post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
She had a rough childhood, and she's been molested by her mom's boyfriends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking into, I've been looking into getting her into EMDR.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What's EMDR?
This eye movement therapy that helps sort of reprogram some of the circuitry in the brain.
Oh, yeah. I got that by the side of the 101 freeway.
I don't know what to make of EMDR, Travis. There seems to be something to it. I would not expect it to be the complete treatment for a severe trauma survivor, but it's something worth looking into if you have someone that's also sort of looking at her from a more global perspective, using whatever treatments are available to help her with this.
How's this work?
I don't really understand it very well. It's about sort of retraining. It's a very strange thing, yeah. Well, maybe we should get someone in here to talk about it.
Is it like that Three Stooges move where they go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it's the two fingers around the eyes?
Yeah.
Have you heard any, bad side effects on it or anything?
No, I've not. And I've heard some respectable people speak highly of it, so.
Hey, Travis?
Yeah.
All right, but if she has this post-traumatic stress disorder, she just needs some therapy, too.
Yeah, she really does. I mean, as far as we know, the thing that's going to ultimately heal her or help her heal or improve the situation is to have a therapeutic connection with another human being. What that ends up doing is actually increasing the synaptic connections in the right frontal lobe of the brain and between the two hemispheres of the brain, and she becomes better able to regulate all this stuff.
In the brain's, that's the part in your
head.
Believe
it or not, that's something that's involved in your experience of life and emotions. And
hello? Scott?
Hello?
20, you want to know if it's morally right?
Yeah, I called in 3 months ago. You remember this?
No.
Yeah. I think Drew does.
No.
Yeah. If I did, I didn't like you.
Oh.
So I hope I don't remember.
What's your problem, man?
You're kidding me.
What's going on?
Okay. Say you could hypnotize a girl into being getting around.
I do remember this game. Yeah. It was like 8 months ago, right?
Right.
8 months ago. That was three.
All right. So, yes.
And,
yeah, thank
you. I wanted to say,
Oh, no, wait. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, you guys.
I already don't buy it.
Yeah.
So, what? We got rid of him?
Yeah. Well, I think he was making it nice for himself. Huh?
All right. We think we recognize that guy's voice? I still wanted to hear what he had to scream. Even when they're bogus calls, I like him to scream out whatever it is because it offers closure for me.
Nice.
All right.
He needed some closure. That was his problem.
He got some holes
Adam,
here.
Jeremy, yeah. I need to eat some nuts now. Let's go.
All right. We're going to take a break. Jeremy Piven's our guest tonight. Serendipity is the movie that is out that he is in. It's on DVD, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy Piven is our guest tonight. Jeremy is pushing Serendipity, which is stars John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale, who's really hot.
Yes.
I don't mean Kate. I mean John. I'm talking about John. Great great actor, John. If I'm not gay, but if I was, he'd be high on my list. Of
Really? You take a run at Johnny. Why is that?
He has feminine features.
Okay.
And it seems like he'd be a nice guy to hang out with. And I like to say anything.
There you go.
And, you know, we just sit around and watch his movies, basically. And perform oral on me. Oh, yeah, being John Malkovich was very good, too.
Yes.
All right. So, anyway, this movie is out on DVD, and you get a free Cinnabon if you buy it. There's an offer inside.
Can you? I'll beg you to stop saying that.
Okay.
Well, no, I really will.
You should have put the sticker on.
Okay. Let me just say.
You should get it anyway.
You guys,
forget about the free roll.
I have a large head. I'm a man with a large head. These... earphones.
Hurting, huh?
No. These earphones are way too big for me, and I'm just curious. Like, do most of your guests have enormous heads? Because this is for a man whose head is almost twice my size. So.
You've spent now an hour with Adam, and you see how inflated he is. He normally wears those headphones.
Oh, are these your cans right here, my man?
No? Hold on. How dare you, Drew? You know those aren't mine. Have my own. They're Tom Likas's cans that I wear. And that, I think John Popper from Blues Traveler.
That's the variable.
May have stretched that one out.
There's a Flintstone Popper situation here.
Yeah.
That or Larry Flynn.
Yeah, slide. Oh, this is us jamming with John Popper, by the way. Drew,
yeah?
Drew on bass guitar.
Yeah?
Me on lead guitar.
I bet you played the keyboard this time we played.
Well, I mixed it up. We've done it a few times.
We're at the sax in.
Oh, no sax in this one. Yeah, Jeremy, you know, if you slide up the ear part of the can, that might shorten
slide,
it up a little.
The other way. Actually, the other way. Yeah.
Yeah, push it.
You know
what?
The kids at home don't need to listen to us do this.
It's hard to believe we were doing this. To your left, there's some other ones going on.
Oh, there's more cans to the left of them.
They're actually bigger.
Let's solve the world's problems. Here
That's
we go.
Right.
Nicole 18.
Yes?
What's up?
Hi, you guys.
Hey. Hello.
Hi. My question for you is, there is this guy that I was kind of dating, and there's a problem, though. It's causing some problems between my family and I.
Uh-huh.
This guy, him and my sister, they had sex at a party on New Year's, and he was really trashed and didn't remember it, but she did, and so, like, I kind of knew about it, but I didn't know how serious it was between them. And then, like, afterwards, him and I met. Like, we were hanging out, and then him and I have started dating. And now it's kind of causing some problems between my sister and I.
How old is your sister?
11.
No, she's 17.
How old is he?
He's 20.
How long have you been dating him?
For a little over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do for a living?
He goes to school.
Junior college?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And now, does
San Diego? I thought that was against the law down there.
By the way,
you got San Diego State right
you
there.
You got San Diego State. You don't need a junior college. You have San Diego State.
I know.
It's like building a junior college on top of a junior college. You have San Diego State. I don't understand that.
I don't.
But who doesn't get into San Diego State? By the way. My God, that junior college over there just must. Must be people that are just, you know, have like arms growing out of their foreheads and stuff.
The drunk excuse is a bad one.
Yeah.
That's not.
He should remember, by the way.
Remember.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's with an underage woman, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, but how did your family find out about this? Or is it just your sister?
Just my sister. Well, my mom knows that, like, I've been talking to him, but she doesn't know, like, the whole, like,
sex. Are you having sex?
No, does your mom know that your sister had sex with him?
No.
Did she think she dated him or something?
I don't know. I think she, I don't know. She knows that my sister doesn't like the fact that him and I are hanging out, and so she's kind of suspicious there.
All right.
And does it bother you that he had sex with your sister?
A little, yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, but in a way, like, because my sister and I are pretty close, so it's kind of just like a friend, like, I don't know, like, I've kind of dated some of my friends' ex-boyfriends before and stuff like that. So
it's
different because it is my sister. But
what is it about this guy? Why can't you let this one go?
Well, why should she? Maybe she likes him.
But I'm just curious. Well, why? What is so alluring that you're willing to destabilize your relationship with your sister with whom you say you're so close?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. We just get along really well, and I like hanging out with him.
All right. Listen, hold on a second.
You can find another guy to kind of hang out.
No, look, hold on a second. I'll buy this. First off, it's your younger sister.
Yeah.
So she shouldn't be telling you what to do.
Why are you wearing a shirt with a collar tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I had it worn out today, and it was downstairs. You know, I don't like to go upstairs.
Okay.
My house. Right. I'm not wearing socks. I'm not wearing underpants.
You have pants on, not pajamas. And
I know.
With the collars.
I knew really, Jeremy was coming in.
It's very distracting. Very distracting.
All right, listen. Nicole, you're her older sister. She should not be dictating dating policy to you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in charge, baby. Also, this guy got drunk. He had sex with your sister.
She violated one of the laws of sisterhood.
Which was
having sex with someone that the sister had sex with before a year had passed.
Okay, but listen, if you're into this guy, then that's fine.
And it's,
you're 18 years old. You're an adult. You can make decisions.
Okay.
Keep an eye on him. I don't completely trust him.
Do not trust him.
Well, and the thing is, like, him and I have been hanging out and stuff, and it's like on a more serious note. Like, it's not just about sex. Like, we haven't done anything.
They share
like
pot together regularly.
No.
All right, well, take it slow.
Uh-huh.
And if you have to lie to your sister, fine. And you're 18. What are you doing? You a senior?
No, I'm going to college.
Junior college?
No, San Diego State.
Oh, yeah. Junior college.
Yeah.
All right. All right, baby.
Okay.
Go Aztecs.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Good times. Yeah. Listen, I know we know we get in the habit of on this show, Drew, is we just tell people, forget it. Find another guy.
Don't do it.
Yeah, we don't like the idea of anyone dating anybody.
No.
She's 18. The guy's 20. They both go to college over there in San Diego. She likes the guy.
All right.
So he got drunk and slipped up 6 months ago with his sister. But doesn't mean they can't get together.
I think that we registered our concern. We worry about this guy.
You're right. Have fun. Have a good time. But ultimately, I don't think you're ever going to be able to shake. She's not going to be able to shake the fact. It's going to be that weird thing in the back of her mind always. But yeah, she should run it out. But also, when you're 18, you're just out of your head.
Yeah.
I remember being a freshman in college. Good God Almighty.
Where'd you go to college?
I started out at Drake University and then went to, that was for Knuckleheads.
No, we were at Drake.
Yeah, it is for Knuckleheads. But
it is for Knuckleheads.
The Drake Relays in Iowa. Remember that?
Des Moines, Iowa.
That great gym that we ran down the stairs in.
That was in Iowa?
Yeah, because that's where we got the car. Those girls picked us up and took us to Des Moines and let us sit in the car for half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Wow, you sat in a car that girls gave you?
Do you want to tell a story?
Yeah. I don't know why, but Drew and I have done many in college speaking engagements, and Drew has almost no self-esteem, and I'm either drunk or tired most of the time.
And no self-esteem.
Low self-esteem, too. And we would never dream of asking for a professional driver. And so for the first, like, 2 or 3 years we used to do these college gigs, college kids would pick us up at the airport.
That's awesome.
And it was comical because we'd blow into these little towns. This guy would pull up in like a
Celica.
82 Celica hatchback with a whole back seat full of laundry. and we'd be lifting the seat for and Drew would be stuffing himself into the back seat. And we did things like we stopped by the guy's apartment so he could change his pants. One time, Drew and I are just
sitting—we're
just sitting in the driveway, and it's snowing, and people are coming by. Look who! Hey, it's Adam and Drew, and they're like banging on the window and stuff, and the car's running. We're out in this guy's place in Iowa, but and there's 1,000 of these stories. Like, people would pick us up at an airport in DeKalb, Illinois. The chick would get on the freeway and would turn around and say to us, "You know what exit we're getting off on?" And we're like, how the F do we know where the college is? You're picking us up. Yeah, I know. My boyfriend was supposed to do it, but he's drunk, so I took the car. And they wouldn't have cars that were even roadworthy. There was not any student union van or anything. This was just their cars. It's
or
a car that
they borrow from somebody.
They borrowed. They oftentimes borrowed their roommates. And it's like the kind of car you drive when you're freshman and poor in college. Like just
it's hard to believe that you guys weren't left at a 7-Eleven in the middle of some sort of shooting or situation that you weren't in America's freakiest, stupid.
We really should have been.
It's hard to believe. Close
well, this time.
I'm not trying to rob a place with like spaghetti sauce or something.
But a Drake.
This time we had two chicks pick us up at Drake and take us about 2 hours across Iowa, somewhere else.
Northern Illinois.
The Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa. And anyway, we told the chicks to pick us up at 10, and then we called them and told them to pick us up at 11. But they'd already left. Right. So they didn't get the message until they got to the hotel. And Drew and I were out at the gym or something like that, and we rolled in at 11, and we apologized. And they said, no problem, we just waited. We didn't get the message. That's cool. And we jumped in the car and we took off.
they'd gone shopping.
They'd gone shopping.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'd gone to Des Moines and shopped for like 2 hours.
They'd explained to us, don't worry about it. We went through town. We ate some lunch. We did some shopping. No big deal. And we apologized. We hopped in the car and we started taking off. And after about one freeway exit, she got off the freeway and said, I got to go into town. I got to take care of some business. And we're like, what do you got to do? And she's like, I got to drop something off for work. It shouldn't take too long. So she pulled up in front of, like, her work that was in downtown Des Moines.
And federal building.
Yeah, and got out of the thing. And we just sat in the car. And she went up to, like, the 25th floor and came back, like, an hour later. And she got back in the car. And I said, you know, you had 2 hours to kill in town. You went shopping. You did lunch. You didn't want to drop off the package for work? She's like, nah. She just started laughing. And I remember I went to take a leak, and they wouldn't let me in the building either, which was the final insult, because I didn't have, like, a credential. And at that point, I think we just realized, let's get the pro with the car and get there on time.
That's paying your dues, boys.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
We would get driven to the venue, and people didn't know where the venue was, and they were, like, speeding, and the cars were pulling at, like, bald tires and stuff.
We got driven back from the airport. They got lost. They couldn't find their way back from the airport. But Adam leans over and goes, this car is not roadworthy for about 45 miles an hour. Pick us up in the same car to go across Kansas at 90 miles.
She's doing 90. Yeah. She's missing off ramps and stuff. Oh, it was great. Those are the days, Drew.
Now they pick you up in like a purple Mercedes, and you guys have red carpet, and you're living a dream now.
We insist on being picked up on one of those vintage cigarette boats.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mark?
A couple of playmates for you.
Yes.
Mark, tubs.
You're 21. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say I really love the show. I listen all the time. You guys are hilarious.
Thanks.
I have this problem. See, I was dating this girl for about 2.5 years, right? And, you know, I really loved the girl, and we were planning on getting married and all that good stuff. And then I was planning on going on this mission for my church, right?
LDS.
Right. And, she said she was going to wait for me or whatever.
You're calling from Baltimore?
Yeah.
We're used to a lot of Salt Lake City calls like this.
I'm originally from Salt Lake City.
Shocking.
There we go.
Things always make sense.
But anyway, so she said she was going to wait for me. And, you know, I told her, whatever, you know, if you can date other guys. Or, you know, I didn't want to be a jerk.
Is she also of your
faith?
Okay.
Yeah. And so she's dating this one guy who I kind of knew from high school. And he's just a real jerk. I mean, he's former drug user, former drinker. You know, he's one of those guys who just kind of plays with women, gets what he wants, and then ditches them.
Pretty much every woman goes through a phase where that's attractive.
And pretty much every ex-boyfriend thinks that of the new guy.
but it's not necessary. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with her that she'd be attracted to that.
Yeah, well, I just want to know what I could do to get this jerk kind of out of her life.
Oh, she's still with him?
Yeah, I'm going home in a couple of days.
Well, but she's into this jerk, right?
Sort of. She says she's into me still. She still loves me, but she's into this guy still.
She is confused. All right, well.
Wait a minute.
Now, let's take the jerkness out of it and just say he told her today she got involved with someone while he was on a mission. Now he's coming home. How does he win her back?
Right.
Which is really what he's asking.
Where'd you go on your mission, by the way?
I'm still in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
You go to Baltimore on a mission?
You pulled the short straw.
I thought you were supposed to go to Biafra or something. What are you doing in Baltimore?
I got shafted, man.
Jesus, that sucks. You ride a bike through Baltimore?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they let you guys drive cars, or you have to ride everywhere on a bike?
Everywhere on a bike.
You know what? Baltimore's one of these cities that has a bad PR rep. It's a beautiful city.
I know, but what do you do, like, during the winter? You, like, put chains on your bike, or what do you do?
We get some really heavy-duty locks, lock them to street.
No, I mean... I didn't mean chains. So, yeah.
Oh, I got you. We usually just walk. You know,
I see. You, what are you doing? You going door to door and spreading the good news?
A little bit of that. A little bit of helping out because, you know, the church isn't very strong in Baltimore.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. This is Jeremy Piven talking, my guest on the show. I just want to check. Good, man.
Also, Serendipity on DVD.
Yeah. I guess it's Cinnabons.
Thanks for saving the show, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, I got a question because I am Jewish. I was bar mitzvahed. My heritage, my grandparents are from Russia, so I'm an Eastern European Jew. If you came to my door, would you still want to talk to me? What would the conversation be, out of curiosity?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's cool to talk to people of other faiths, first of all. I mean,
but how long does it take you to get to seeing Hell Jaime? how long does it take you to get? That's the last thing on the little laminate cheat sheet, right?
Usually when they let the dogs out.
Are we
a gutter religion? Just tell me that.
What's that?
Is the Jewish faith, is that a gutter religion?
What do you mean by gutter?
Bad religion.
Oh.
No?
Not at all.
No?
My sister married a Jew.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. She got completely out of the family now.
Yeah, she's the only one living in a house, though. So.
But here's my question about, now, is there indeed only one God, and any God that any other faith prays to is not a valid God, out of curiosity?
No. I mean, you know, almost everybody believes in a supreme being, even though they may call him, you know, by different names.
Right.
But, you know, we believe that there's one God, and, you know, he's our creator.
And do you believe that Jesus came back and he's like the Messiah, and the Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come back? Is that how it goes?
Well, we believe that you know, he came back and that he was, you know, he was the savior of the world, and the Jews, I mean...
They killed him. That's right.
I mean, don't...
Listen, I blame the Jews, too, but more for the industry stuff that's gone wrong, not so much about killing Jesus. As an atheist, I have my own reasons for hating Jesus, but... But here's
Mark winning back his girlfriend. That's what he called about.
That's right.
Win back his girlfriend.
I think the harder the harder play you make towards her and towards getting him away from her, I think in a weird way, the worse off you're going to be. And I don't think anyone's going to agree with me on this one.
No, I think it's a reasonable point of view. I think though, would you guys agree though that he make a very strong maneuver, like really, you know, get the flowers, lay it on the line, and then back off? You know, once you've been really present yourself,
but
with feelings.
Is he going back there for good, or is he going back to try to win her back?
I'm going back for good.
You're going back for good.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to have to make a power play.
I'd make a power play and then out. Do not keep at her. The more you pound on her, the more, I agree with Jeremy, she's going to kind of, but women like to know that you,
They want to see you put a little effort.
Yeah, they want to see a piece of you invested in this. And I think you're up to that.
So what do you mean by a piece of me?
Well, what we mean is don't, you know, at noon on a Tuesday, sit her down and start crying about what a bad boy he is.
Yeah, and how upset you are.
And leave him out of this.
All right.
Forget about him. You tell her about you and why she needs to be with you.
When
you pull up on that bike, I want you to do it with attitude.
How do you feel about her?
Don't use the kickstand. Just throw it right down on the lawn.
Bring some flowers. Make something with your own hands. Bring that in.
Yeah. They like effort. Oh, picnic. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
Tell me a little romantic picnic plan for her.
Yeah.
Don't even bring up the other guy.
Have some clarity, and if something extraordinary happens in front of her, that's always a good plus, too. Mm-hmm. You might want to just save her life, if that's possible.
Set
that up your
just have some stroller roll in front of a UPS truck, and you dive in front that way, all right?
Is there any way to win the lottery, or how does that work?
Yeah, you can do that, too. And you turn around, and you go, bitch, I got nothing to do with God. That was all Mark. That was God, Mark. There's your Messiah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I believe that the LDS, you know, I'm not a religious guy, but I have a theory as to what they are, which is they are around to punish me for staying home during the day. You should not be able to stay home during the day and get off scot-free. Yeah, there's always that knock on the door. There's a guy with the short-sleeve shirt and the clip-on tie. Wants to spread a little good news. And I always think to myself, yep, I should have went to work. This is why. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jeremy Piven is our guest tonight. We will talk to him. Remember, Serendipity coming out, I should say, on DVD as we speak. And we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's true. Jeremy Piven is our guest tonight. Serendipity is the name of the movie that is just been released to DVD, which Jeremy is in. And if you get it, it's got all the extra bells and whistles that, not going to mention anything about the Cinnabon, bells and whistles that the DVDs have. And I have not really gotten into this yet. I mean, checking out the director's narration and all that kind of stuff.
You're going immediately to porn and we're never going to see you again.
No, that's not true. Actually, you know what's kind of interesting is that...
when he learns all the different things that can be done with DVD, you see he's going to go immediately to the porn shop, the porn hangar.
Well, that's going to happen no matter what.
That's inevitable.
You've managed to stay out of that.
I know, but it's inevitable. That's what Jeremy's saying. He's
saying
right.
He's going to end up in Vegas with a donkey and Dennis Rodman, and everyone's going to lose. And I shouldn't say that. I celebrate Dennis Rodman. I don't know why I just said that. I really do. He's awesome, and I'm from Chicago, and I don't know what just happened to me just now. But I will say this. The directors of our generation, like Wes Anderson and you know, Paul Thomas Anderson, all the Andersons.
Right.
You know, the guys that did, like, you know, Rushmore and Boogie Nights and stuff like that. Those guys have admittedly learned from DVDs, from, you know, directors talking through movies and whatnot. There's a lot to be learned from this. You know, why they cut it in a certain way, how they directed it, why they wrote it, stuff like that. You can, you know, these DVDs can be kind of cool.
It is interesting, and with everybody now just about owning like a digital camera and all this editing going on your personal computer.
There's no excuse.
And these DVDs being like a tutorial for making a film.
Absolutely.
Right.
They're cool. You can watch Sopranos now, and each director will talk about it.
Hmm. Melissa?
Yes?
You're 22?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
My boyfriend, we've been dating for about 2 months, and we've actually known each other for about 4 years. And we'd been dating for a couple of weeks, and he told me that he had genital herpes.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if... what kind of precautions I should take.
Well, obviously, he should be wearing a condom whenever you have sex with him.
Right.
You got to be careful that he doesn't have it on his mouth, too, because that can easily be transmitted.
Okay.
And if he has any symptom of an outbreak, you want to certainly not have sexual intercourse at that point. Whether or not you can really prevent transmission just with the use of a condom, it's not completely foolproof.
And some people... Well, everyone is going to spread it if they have an outbreak, right?
If you have an outbreak, it's almost impossible to prevent it from spreading.
But do we know that everybody has a form of it that can be spread, even if there is an outbreak?
Yes.
We would assume that they do, but we don't know, do we?
All herpes is highly contagious, 100%.
Okay, so if you have an outbreak, it's spreading.
Highly, massive viral shedding in a herpes outbreak.
Right. And then some people can be spreading it even without an outbreak.
Right.
But I would think that's less than what we think. Otherwise, I think more people would have it.
Yeah, it's not that common. Although some people start to produce virus when they're exposed to a new partner. And so that's why there's added risk there. And so you have to really create boundaries to that happening. And latex is one way to prevent that.
Okay.
All right? That's not foolproof, though.
All right. And I did have another question, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I was actually talking to my boyfriend about it a couple of nights ago. When I was, like, in high school and stuff like that, like, when they did all the sex ed classes and everything, our teacher was telling us that, when it comes to sex drive, men, you know, generally are, you know, say, like, a microwave, whereas a woman would be more like a crock pot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's reasonable.
Longer. Right. And
bigger hole. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, but I'm the exact opposite.
You have orgasms easily.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like a waffle iron, whereas Drew is.
I'm like a George Foreman grill.
He's like, yeah.
That's
Jerry,
where I was going.
Well, you're kind of a toaster oven. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Hey, listen, listen. The people.
Sure is a sterno camp.
The women that have the good fortune of what you have also tend to be multiply orgasmic.
Yeah.
So you'll have multiple orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That's what that is. And that's a rare talent. And
That's a blessing. Enjoy it.
Yes.
Now, did your boyfriend tell you about this, or did you notice it and then you called him on it?
No, he said it 2 weeks in, right?
Oh.
It was a mutual thing.
No. He said we're not talking about the crock pot and the George Foreman cooker. We're talking about the herpes now.
Oh, the herpes thing.
Yeah, he said it, right?
Right, yeah.
All right, good times.
Wow.
I would like a film of the class when 86-year-old Miss Commissar started explaining it. Now, the young ladies are like a crock pot. Oh, gosh.
Well, then Melissa's going, wait a minute, it just takes me a second to organize.
And the boys are like a microwave. And
what happens when you take the fondue out of the crock pot and you heat it up in the microwave?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's when it really kicks in.
Yeah.
And by the way, I miss fondue.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, that went out with the Devil's Triangle.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you kids don't know about the 70s.
We've decided.
And you shouldn't miss much of it.
Like, Talking to the Dead has replaced Devil's Triangle.
You don't need to miss all the Devil stuff. You don't need to miss, like, the AMC Matador. And there's a hand. You don't need the rust-colored shag carpet. But fondue is something that is sorely missed from the 70s. Yeah. You used to have those little parties. The fondue pot was like a gift. That was a legitimate gift you'd get somebody.
Right.
I got you a fondue pot.
Yeah, for some reason.
Great, I'm a bachelor. Thank you.
But the whole culture revolved around cheese. They would take cheese and they'd roll it in nuts and they'd serve it. And I actually ate enough cheese as a youngster for 9 lifetimes.
That's a good point. Maybe the cholesterol issue put a kibosh on.
Yes, yeah,
so I think it did, man. I went to a Chinese healer and he did some stuff on me and he said and I remember I have now not eaten cheese in 15 years. I don't know if we need to talk about this.
No, it's fine.
Okay. His movements now are more regular. That's good.
No, but I'm certainly healthier than I've ever been. I feel great. And he said to me, you know, he was doing like this muscle test, and he said, "You have eaten too much cheese." And it was Pat Morita was actually the gentleman. He did a nice job. Yeah. And I said, "I got you, man. I haven't had cheese in like 15 years." 13 back then, and he goes, tell me about your childhood. You have too much cheese in your child. And I was like, yeah, man, my mom would make me grilled cheese sandwiches. I would have string cheese in my pockets. And it's true, man. The whole it was all about cheese. And he said, you have about 9 lifetimes of cheese in you. So apparently I've eaten enough for 9 lifetimes, and maybe our entire generation has. So I don't think they're missing anything, Adam.
Yeah, I think that's a cheap shot that Asians take against Americans with the cheese jokes. They know we all eat too much cheese. But I would argue they don't eat enough cheese over there.
All I do is eat raw fish and celebrate their culture, though.
I know, do they have cheese over there? They don't have cheese in Asian cultures.
I've noticed
that
the spicy tuna roll starts to taste like cheese after a while.
Eventually.
There's no need for them to even attempt to co-opt our culture, because what's there to take? They do they have really bad Britney Spears music now. I went to a sushi joint, they had that, and they do the rock and roll machine karaoke situation. Yeah. There's no need. Their culture is awesome. Just to have the sushi, the beautiful traditional sushi, and we'll enjoy it. There's no need to take any part of our horrific culture and mix it together.
Well, they take the worst part, too. They take the worst cars and the worst musicians and the worst stuff and then the worst clothing, and then they adopt it as their own.
Ciao.
Annie?
Ding dong.
Yeah. That's all the stuff we can't move, by the way, if there's any Asians listening. We just ship it over there.
That's not true. They celebrate McNuggets and Jack Daniels, and it's sold over here. But I would hate us, too, if I lived elsewhere.
You would?
I think so. Because you have to understand, you go to another place. You ever look? I mean, do you ever realize, like, how truly loud Americans are when they're traveling? And
nothing compared to the Germans.
Yeah.
The Germans louder?
Ooh. Yeah, they're pretty loud. And they killed my people. But, you know, when we're over there and we're like a biscuit over 300 pounds and, you know, we're wearing, the khakis and we're screaming. And
I got to say, the one thing, though, in Europe this last summer that I noticed was American, that sort of surprised me, was so much the American culture was movies.
Yeah.
That is just everywhere.
Yeah, no matter if there's hatred or not, they'll still go and check out the movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be in the depths of some village in Italy, some medieval town, and there's an advertisement for a movie.
You recognize in Europe, I'm sure, right? Because of all the movies?
Yeah, surprising every once in a while. I'll be in the middle of nowhere.
So really, but Jeremy's the reason they hate us, and why we should be hating.
I am indeed part of the problem. I was in Morocco for 5 months, and it's completely surreal. You would drive by a place, and it would be literally like a cardboard shack, and it would have a satellite dish. Nothing. There would be nothing but a little dish.
Phil Gallagher.
Yeah, that was my idea. All right, Troy, don't start getting me going. Annie, you're 15. Troy, no one knows what you're talking about.
Only you do.
Okay, yeah, but
I figure you might.
How long have you guys been doing this show?
Only I know. How long have you been doing this show?
7 years.
Seven years. That's awesome.
Yeah, it makes me angry that I'm the only one that knows. Annie?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
I'm 13.
I mean 13. What's going on?
There's this kid at school,
mm-hmm.
and he called me a dyke, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my counselor.
Good.
And she
You're a lesbian.
Warned him.
Mm-hmm.
About
good.
It.
Good.
And I passed him the other day, and he wants to beat me up.
You know what? You've got to keep going at guys like this. They need tons and tons of structure, and you keep bringing down something.
Why? Why is he singled you out?
You're a lesbian.
True. Please.
I don't know. Because he's an ass.
Because he's an ass, but I mean,
probably she's a little different than everybody else.
Do you dress differently? Do you look differently?
No.
No, you don't.
Everything's good.
No black fingernail polish or anything.
No.
Is your hair really short?
No.
Do you play? Do you catch her on the softball team?
I don't play softball.
Okay.
Okay. But she sounds like a delight.
Why would he pick you?
Do you have Katie Lang posters in your locker?
No.
Why do you pick you? You think?
I don't know.
Well, help us.
I'm done. Just go talk to your principal. I don't care about Annie.
Keep talking to
I'm about to go over there.
She was calling us from a Lilith Fair concert, all right?
But you're seeing what this evokes in these guys. Is that
right, I'm going to go over there.
All right, but be that as it may, she can look at what that is that she...
Now she's never going to. She's 13.
All right.
What's she going
to
do?
She needs to keep going back to the counselor and tell...
Just bug the counselor.
Every time this guy threatens her, there needs to be a response. Every time.
Yes. And also understand when people single you out to F with you, there's usually something that you're doing. Doesn't mean it's right that they single you out, but it's a nice way to go through life is to figure out whatever you're doing to attract people that F right. with you right. and maybe stop doing it. And I think we're starting to get a little taste of that with Annie as we got into the questions.
He's probably some little Alexander Haig running around who's very confused and, you know, he needs to punish people because he feels bad about himself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep.
You've been on hold for 113 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah. You must dig these guys. You like listening to them, huh?
Yeah, I love you guys.
Cool.
Great.
There you go.
He's hitting that bong a little bit tonight, too, I think. See what I'm saying?
No way.
Well, way to hear it. He can hear it right away, man.
How much weed you smoking, Mark?
I don't smoke right now. I've been clean for over a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Still got a hold on you, man.
Yeah, you need like an enema with a fire hose because you still got a lot of THC floating around your body.
Absolutely.
Did you do mushrooms tonight or something? What happened here?
One of my favorite movies is Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
L-I-V-I-N.
Are there, Mark?
That's McConaughey's one of his best roles ever.
Yeah, I thought he was great. But, all right, we're just going off tonight.
Yeah, we are.
Different things. But real quick, Matthew McConaughey was such the perfect role because he was the guy who was 1 year out of high school and still hanging around and had the job with the phone department, so he had his own ride. He was driving like a Barracuda or Challenger or something and was big fish in a small pond. And we always remember that one dude. He was on the football team. He wasn't the star of the football team. He just played some ball. You figured he could kick your ass because he was a year older than you were, and he had a car. And you didn't want to mess with him, but he was like the king of the misfits.
And he had the mullet. He had the mustache.
Yeah, he was just perfect.
And he just kept getting older, and the girls keep getting younger.
Yeah, he was perfect.
Oh, Mark. Come on, you must be high.
No, I'm not, seriously.
All right. Really?
Good. All right, so what's the question?
First of all, I just remembered one real quick. Adam.
No, listen here, goofball. You've been on hold for 113 minutes to ask this question. All you're doing is giggling and waxing poetic about Dazed and Confused. Now, ask your goddamn question.
Okay, there's this girl that I know, and she's really into drinking and smoking herb, and she's done a lot of other stuff too, like dropped acid and everything, and I feel that...
Your soulmate, right?
If I, like... This is actually with anybody, but, you know, with her, just, you know, whatever. If I just, like, turn away from people, I get the feeling like I'm giving up on them, and I don't like to do that to people.
All right, fair enough.
You're into her, right?
Yeah. Okay. I went to school with her last year, and then I got sent away in placements and everything, and so now I'm back and everything, and now I'm knowing her again.
Was she into you?
It's kind of hard to tell because...
Well, she's not into you like you're into her.
Right.
No.
She's into you like a friend, and you're into her like a girlfriend.
Well, that's kind of hard to tell.
No, you're into her.
Yeah, you want to...
Yeah, no, yeah, that right. I am.
But
yeah.
She's so loaded, who knows what she's up to right now. So what?
But he would know if she was into him.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but he's not doing drugs, so she's probably not, you know, she, you know what I'm saying? She won't be interested.
I'm just worried that he's trying to save her because he's interested in her, and she may ultimately not be interested in him.
I understand that, but are you in recovery?
Yeah.
You're in a program?
Yeah, I go to AA.
All right, why don't you take her to some meetings? Just as a friend. Just say, come to meetings with me. And encourage her to get a sponsor, and just see where that goes. And don't 13th step her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But bring her in, you know, if she gets sober, clears up a little bit.
Take her to one with some really funny guys to get up there and, you know, tell it like it is. They're really interesting, and she's going to find it fascinating somehow.
Yeah.
So all right, Mark.
That's about all you can do. You can't change her. And in fact, the only thing that will change her in relationships is losing relationships, not by people stepping in and trying to change her.
But also, don't turn her into a project. I know he's been pining for this chick for a few years now. He went off, came back. He's still pining for her. She's getting effed up. He's going to pick up the pieces. She may not be interested in him that way. I guess she isn't.
Men just wait in the brush.
That's right.
Like some kind of polar bear or lion waiting to pounce.
Right, yeah.
First hit of weakness, pow, they're in.
Yeah, and also we sort of create these fantasies. We get fixated on women like we do with cars. Like, you know, like one day I'm going to have an LT1 69 Vet. I'm going to have that car.
Yeah.
And years go by and jobs go by and relationships go by. And you're still fixated on one day. Meanwhile, your life is just blowing by.
Yeah.
And if you'd spent as much time on your own life getting your own crap together as you'd spent fixating on this one chick, this one car, this one whatever, this one goal, you'd be much further along and you'd have five of those.
Mm.
Five LT1 Vets and five chicks in the garage inside the Vets and all greased up and on the hood like what's her name from that White Snake video. Yeah. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah. All right, Tony Katane. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a little break. And, Drew, I'm surprised you didn't come up with the Tony Katane reference.
What happened to Tony? I haven't seen her in 15 years.
She got sent to prison for, like, beating up her husband recently.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's great. Yeah.
Seriously?
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with Jeremy Piven after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I'm yelling off my name.
Oh, so what network is that? It's a TV show where people confront cheating partners.
I don't know what that you've been busted TV show, what network that is. I'm guessing UPN, probably.
Wow.
Something like that. I don't know who knows the network it's on, but it's a crazy show.
I love that show.
Yeah. Is that UPN?
I have no idea. It's always on at the bar that I go to.
Oh.
We're one TV show away from The Truman Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's come to that.
No, we're one TV show away from, like, Gladiators.
Yeah.
Really, a Rollerball or something. I mean,
yeah, we're getting pretty damn close where people just, it just doesn't matter. There's nothing sacred. Just please enjoy any of this humiliation.
Yeah.
I was just saying in the break that it's not even an intellectual thing. I just get really depressed watching it. Just...
Jeremy doesn't like the reality-based TV shows because it's one more show he's not on.
You know what?
He thinks he should be on every show on TV and every movie in production.
You know what's interesting is...
God, you get me, man. You really get me. I'm really straight, but I'm going to take a run at you at some point before we leave. So.
And look at him now. He's cocky. He's eating right into the microphone.
Hey, Jeremy, do this. Take your headphone. Do this. And put it down like that. Just do that. Okay.
Oh, now that's it. Now I'm going insane. All right, look on. Let's pile through some.
Acceptable.
Let's pile through some mock calls. Thank you, me. Bill?
Yes.
You're 26.
Yes.
What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Jeremy, why aren't you in more movies?
Yeah.
There isn't enough seconds in a day, but I would like to be something other than the best friend.
You need a new agent, Jeremy.
Yeah. You think so?
Yes.
It's time you move down to the friend of the best friend. I agree.
He's thinking about it.
A more central friend.
Yeah, you need to slide down.
Well, listen.
No, you need the lead role. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Adam said something nice.
That's right.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm a big fan, please.
Well, let me cut to the chase.
Yeah, you got it, man.
I work in entertainment here in the big city, Los Angeles.
Oh,
that could mean anything.
Yeah, you know, fun stuff. Anyways, my boss, she's 33,
mm-hmm.
got just a fantastic rack, and she's married, and mm-hmm. I've had this gigantic crush on her for like 2.5 years.
Huh.
And
how's her marriage going?
Some would say good, others would say bad. If you listened to her on the phone, you'd say bad.
All right. What do you do for her?
What would I like to do for her?
What is your relationship with her?
She and I are both managers of a place in town.
Do you work with her or for her?
It's a little of both. I work for her and then work with her.
You're going to have to be clearer with us. We need to understand what this
is. Are you her assistant and you're about to make a move? Is that what's up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And by the way, has anyone ever agreed to that? Like when you go, what do you do for a living? What would I like to be doing for a living? No, what do you do for a living? Has anyone said, yeah, what would you like? Well, I'd like to be a DJ at a strip club on the moon.
Here's what you do, Matt. Masturbate and then think about this problem.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for like 2 years.
Yeah,
listen, man, there are so many women with beautiful bodies. Your boss is the last card you want to play, bro.
You're married.
Your married boss is all just say no. Turn back.
Don't worry, appreciate it, folks.
You've met Colonel Kurtz. Turn back. Go back up the river.
Jaguar stage four. Love seven. Yeah, love it. Hey, but love seven. Look, I'm all those seven. Look, I'm a stage. Hey, guys, show me a bridge. Mini bottles of champagne, $26.50. Double bucks of funny money. Wednesday night, it's a businessman. It's lunch. Come on out between Joe and I got Brandon coming to stage five. That's all I hear in this trip. One day I'm gonna walk over with a shotgun. I'm gonna take the mic. I'm gonna put the shotgun under the guy's chin. I'm gonna blow his head off, and the entire place will erupt in cheers. Cheers! I'll be hailed as a hero. And then I'll turn back, turn up, girls, we'll all walk back. This guy is like part carnival barker, part air traffic controller. You know, I was like, hey, guys, show me the bridge. Is coming up. Brandy coming to stage four. That's like, he's guiding traffic
he's
out there.
He's on the
main 1-3000. Yeah, he's on Brandy, 149er, 149er, southbound, 8-9, south of Midwest. Come to Daddy, on the bridge. ATMs, all the time, all the charge. Put it on your scores credit card.
Storage credit card?
Yeah. Scores credit card. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Go to the VIP room. I draw the boy. Show you the video. These guys. Like, and you know what's weird, too? If you go, I've traveled all over the country, and you go to Canada. You go to Canada, and it's like, who do you hear on that? The guy speaking in French, he sounds exactly like this, because there's some sort of like universal strip club DJ school that these guys all must pass.
Absolutely.
San Diego.
Oh, that's what it is, San Diego.
It's a cadence, and it's also a cadence for sitcoms.
Yeah.
Because you have to say things like this.
Yeah.
And then you make $1.2 million a week.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, sitcoms are great. You have,
it is indeed.
6-year-old sons trying to get their single father laid. Think about your kids trying to get you laid, like you broke up with your wife, setting you off the teacher, and saying incredibly funny, witty things, and you pay no attention to it. Brad?
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
Big fan of Jeremy's?
I am a huge fan of Jeremy. Jeremy, I got to tell you, it's an honor to be able to speak with you.
Bless you, my son.
Well, thank you. You know, PCU, hands down, top three movies of all time.
Interesting.
You don't agree?
Oh, you know, somehow that's become a cult classic. And now, are you a man who smokes a great deal of herbal medication?
I have never smoked herbal medication.
Really?
Really.
And a big PCU fan.
Yes, I am.
Interesting combo. I thank you for that.
Chimpanzee!
So Sir, I got to ask you, what's coming up? I'll see anything you're in, so what should I keep
Serendipity on DVD.
Yeah, Serendipity on DVD. I just wrapped a movie called Old School with Will Ferrell, Luke Wilson, and Vince Vaughn. And then literally just the other day, I just did a pilot. They're bringing back the Twilight Zone, and Forrest Whitaker is going to be the new host of the Twilight Zone.
Oh, really?
I played a guy. You'll actually like this episode. I played a guy who's a telephone repairman, and he gets struck by lightning, and he's able to see other people's thoughts, and he falls in love with his foreman, and it's kind of like this unrequited love situation. And he realizes that if he amps up the voltage by sticking his head in a microwave, he can get inside people's heads and get her to love him.
Wow.
So he ultimately does that in a state of desperation, and
wow,
she still doesn't love him. And,
wow,
and he just becomes more and more desperate. It's really well written and twisted, and he ends up kind of, well, I won't tell you the ending. There's no need to do that.
A woman would stick her head in a crock pot, because that's how they're,
yeah, she would.
They're done.
And she'd get some brisket on her neck.
Right through television. Normally, after the electricity voltage, you become like
Superman.
Superpowers, yeah.
Well, he has some powers.
Become giant. Become giant.
This is really interesting.
Listen, we're out of time. We got to take a break. But I'm going to talk to Jeremy about this during the break, which is how come it's taken so long for the old Twilight Zone TV show to come back?
Yeah,
and it must have been kicked around for a million years.
Yeah.
This guy Pendentium that wrote it had been talking to Les Moonves for the past 6 years about it, and he finally pulled the trigger because he runs UPN now.
We will take a quick break. We'll be right
back. We didn't ask our man's question.
What was his question? He said he wanted to know what you're coming out.
That was it?
Yeah, I want to kiss your ass.
That's great. I don't know.
All right, we'll be back. That's it, everybody. I want to thank Jeremy Piven for coming in here tonight and helping us all out.
I want to thank you guys because I've been dodging this for a long time.
That's true.
I was so underqualified, but this was really fun. I had a great time.
Yeah, and it's easy, right?
Yeah. Would it be awkward to ask to come back every week? I don't know how that works.
You're in.
Every week, though? You guys all right with that?
For a little while.
No, every week forever.
Let's make it every night.
Every night for the rest of eternity.
I'm in.
Awesome.
All right. Everyone go out and get Serendipity. It is now on DVD, and our good close friend and a friend of the show now, Jeremy Piven, is in it. So
I'm going to get my Cinnabon, too.
Until next time. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
He's hitting that bong a little bit tonight, too, I think.